Airlines are facing yet another road bump, and this time it's not fuel prices or failing equipment, but a looming pilot shortage. The industry expects that a shortfall of qualified commercial pilots could hit the U.S. by next spring. Andy Pastor has been writing about this for the Wall Street Journal. And Andy, what is it that's expected to cause this shortage?
So the airline business is a cyclical business, as everybody knows, and in terms of having pilots available to fill cockpits, that also goes in cycles. A number of factors have come together to produce what almost everyone believes will be some shortage. It's not clear how acute it will be and exactly when it will hit. But first of all, you have thousands of pilots who are going to be turning 65 and who, by law, will have to retire. Secondly, Congress and the FAA, to some extent, are moving to increase the experience levels required for newly hired pilots who would serve as first officers or co-pilots, really in regional airlines. And the third factor, which is fairly significant and I think the hardest to deal with, is a general lack of interest among young people in becoming pilots and aviation in general.
And what are the various reasons for why being a pilot just isn't as attractive as it used to be?
The factors are many, and some are fairly predictable. Pay is not very good.
You say starting pay could be under $25,000 a year. That's quite low for that responsibility.
Actually, in some cases, close to $20,000 or $21,000 a year. And it's a question of supply and demand, of course, except that this is a weird market because the major airlines contract with the regional airlines to provide feeder service. And it's a very limited number of airlines that these smaller ones can contract with. So therefore, the incredible cost-cutting pressures. And there's been an equilibrium over the years, enough pilots to fill the seats and work for those salaries. But I think everyone sees a major problem coming in the next several years.
Why is there an increase in the amount of experience you need before you can fly going into effect? Why right now are we increasing the standards?
The reason for it is the Colgan crash several years ago, the turboprop that crashed near Buffalo, New York. It brought up a number of issues about lack of training for commuter pilots, and Congress, in its wisdom, determined that newly hired pilots should have at least 1,500 hours of flying experience before they can fly passengers. And to put this into a little bit of perspective, in the past, we have had commercial pilots hired with as few hours as perhaps 300 or 250 hours of experience flying passengers. So that gives you some sense that this 1,500 hours is a pretty significant ratcheting up of the minimum requirement.
And we don't want to overhype this because, as you said, it's not clear just how extensive this shortage could be. But you do quote numerous airline executives who make it sound fairly dire. The chief executive of JetBlue has said that we could wake up one day and find we have no one to operate these planes. So how bad do you think this potentially could be?
The question is whether it hits the major airlines. The major airlines, of course, have the most experienced pilots with the most pay. And so the question is, how will they be affected? From my perspective, the reason that it is a serious issue and it will turn into an even more serious issue is that you're starting to have industry folks and government officials starting to come up with new innovative ways, perhaps, to train pilots. And the fact that they really are talking about doing things differently indicates, I think, that there seems to be a consensus that the system as it currently stands is not really going to withstand the shortage.
How will this shortage be felt by passengers?
Well, in the worst case, if you believe some of these smaller airlines, they will be canceling flights and canceling service to some smaller cities. That will be, I think, down the road. The most immediate impact actually will be felt by some small cargo carriers who fly small cargo planes and perhaps by charter carriers and others who can't find enough pilots. For the average passenger flying a big jet, I don't think that there'll be any impact for at least several years. And there's a safety aspect to this, of course, because if the smaller airlines are determined to find pilots, even though they have to meet some minimum experience requirements, of course, they're going to be much more prone to overlook training lapses and to be able to fill their seats to accept candidates that they may not have accepted in the past.
And you also write that in order to get the number of flight hours they have to get their license, they might, for example, fly an airplane that is just towing a banner around, which is not the kind of training you might need to fly a big jumbo jet.
Well, that's right. And those critics of this 1,500-hour rule would say that it's irrelevant almost that you build up some of these hours flying small propeller-driven planes around the countryside. That doesn't really prepare you to fly big jets into LaGuardia or Logan. And therefore, we have to come up with some better standards. And I think there is some truth to that, and there's a lot of discussion in the industry about what those other standards are. Unfortunately, as it now stands, the congressional mandate is pretty specific, and unless the FAA promulgates some rules to give some pilots a way out of the 1,500-hour minimum requirement, you are going to start seeing pilots who could be very good commercial pilots being turned down for jobs because they simply don't have the number of hours.
Have labor issues, the kind that have been plaguing the industry, the airline industry for years, have that factored into this at all?
I think that in this case, the unions are actually trying to ameliorate or help the situation, if you will. Many of the pilot union leaders don't believe that this 1,500-hour minimum experience requirement is a good idea.
They think 1,500 is too much?
I think in some cases they think 1,500 is irrelevant in some ways. They would like to see a more focused training program where the emphasis on the training itself rather than the number of hours. This is a sort of a holdover from the historical way we've trained pilots. It's always been to count the hours before you're ready to go to the airlines to fly for them. And unions and other safety folks now are beginning to think that for the current way that airliners fly and pilots fly them, that may not be the best system, that we should be looking at making sure that pilots have a certain skill set and exposure to certain kinds of training programs before they start flying passengers.
What would that skill set be that you're referencing?
Pilots today are monitors of complicated computerized systems. What the safety community is beginning to talk about is how do you train pilots to sit for perhaps 20 years and simply be monitor of these systems and then be able to kick in and confidently take over if some huge problem occurs. That kind of training, the startle factor, oh my God, what happened now? I've got to take over. There's much more emphasis on that now than there is simply on how many hours you've been in the cockpit and how many takeoffs and landings have you had as a young man or woman flying to earn your licenses.
Andy Pastor is a reporter for The Wall Street Journal. He's been writing about a looming shortage of pilots in the United States. Andy, thanks for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Before we go today, the scandal at the BBC. You're listening to Here and Now.